श्री ब्रह्म मद्ध गौर वैष्णव संप्रदाय की
जय।
हरे कृष्ण
हरे कृष्ण
नमः विष्णु श्रीमते भक्तिविराम स्वामी नमस्ते गौरवाणि श्री मूर्ति दीनताये उपानुग विरुद्धम वंदे गुरु नीशीशाकं तत्प्रकाशं कृष्ण चैतन्य संगीतम पंचतत्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूप स्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं मनोमयशक्तिकं वंदे श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य नित्यानंद सरोजित गौरवी वंदे जगप्रियम सिंहासनस्थ श्री गोविंद देव प्रेष्ठादि श्रीमानसुरसाधुवंशीवाटस्थाशंवेणुस्वनाय गोपी गोपीनाथ स्वामी
हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
Harikatha, always. If you say that my son is on the verge of death, I reply, let him die. You should hear Harikatha. Don't stop hearing. This is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It is a typical exchange of his. This was not to a disciple, this was to a visitor to the mat. So this is the great personality that the term Srila Prabhupada used to use. Great personality. What can we describe about this Bhaktisiddhanta? Hopefully from this seminar we can begin to understand how to understand who is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He taught, and tomorrow I'll in more detail discuss what he himself said are the basic principle of his teaching, on which all the rest of his teachings rest. The understanding of who is the seer and who is the seen. So, we need translation? Need translation? There's no translation? Anyone? Translator? Kadada? Goranga? Want to translate? Translation is going on here. You can go there. Anyone a lady translator? Any lady translator? So generally, generally when we have a seminar on some great Vaishnava personality, we generally think, well, we'll please, Prabhu, come this side more. I'm trying to leave a little space for the ladies now. Yes, if you can make your way up here, there's space over there. Generally, when we have a seminar on just for instance, on the appearance day of a great Vaishnava or the disappearance day, we think, well, we'll go and hear a lot of nectar. We'll hear so many different stories. So probably in this seminar, you'll hear many stories. But actually, this whole attitude that I will hear something that I will enjoy is antithetical to the teachings of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He was very much interested in teaching, just like this. You should hear Harikatha continuous. Don't stop hearing, even if your son is dying, just go on hearing. He was very much concerned with teaching. He would speak literally for hours on end. And it's very difficult to see. He was ready to speak if there were people willing to listen. And very difficult to get him to stop even, even if he is supposed to go to some other program, catch a train, or some such thing. Once he was started speaking, and if there was one serious listener, he was prepared to go on speaking. He was very much concerned to speak Bhaktisiddhanta Vani, the conclusions of devotional instructions that result from the conclusions of devotional service. So, we should be prepared to hear. Generally, when he was saying we should hear Hari Katha, his Hari Katha was mostly like this, didactic, teaching. It wasn't so much telling stories or getting everyone to laugh or any such thing. Very serious instruction. I was told there's one book in Russian that was compiled called Gauranga. I think it was compiled. Big book about the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taken from the different biographies. And someone was saying that the compiler of this book did a very good job. They took out all the nectar. They put in all the stories without any of the philosophy. So just all the nectar, you see. So we can enjoy it, but none of the instruction. Whereas we see that Prabhupada, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he first of all made a summary. He made the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Before he translated the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita, he extracted the instructions. And then when the devotees were asking him to translate Chaitanya Charitamrita, he first of all translated chapter 7 of the Adi Lila, which is for the philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu defeating the Mayavadis. So, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained many times, the guru is not an entertainer who gives semi-spiritual, as he would explain, there's no semi-spiritual, it's material. He doesn't give semi-spiritual entertainment so that we can go away and say, oh, that was very good. Because like sometimes we say, well, he's a nice devotee. That means there's someone who's not in. Some devotee is not nice. Teaching must be from the fully spiritual platform. That has much to do with the attitude of the speaker also. Why is he speaking? He must be pure in his motives also. Anyway, like I say, I'll discuss more about that tomorrow. So this Bhaktisiddhanta Vani, the teachings, of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. Of course, there's no difference between the teachings of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati and the teachings of Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. There's no difference. If there was a difference, then we wouldn't be here today. Because Srila Prabhupada had the power to preach Krishna consciousness all over the world, as he himself repeatedly said, because I simply repeated what I heard from my spiritual master, and I simply tried to please him and follow his orders. And therefore all power came to him to spread Bhakti Siddhanta Vani, which is no different from Bhaktivedanta Vani, is no different from Bhakti Siddhanta Vani. So if he had been teaching something else, then the potency to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world wouldn't have been there. He might have been able to spread some kind of cheating religion. But the genuine Krishna consciousness, and that can only be transmitted by a genuine devotee. And genuine devotee means one who follows his guru. So, in essence, there is no difference between Bhaktisiddhanta Vani and Bhaktivedanta Vani. So you may think then, well, we already know Bhaktivedanta Vani, we've read the book, so let's go to another seminar where maybe there's some more nectar. Well, there is some difference also. Not difference in essence, because Guru is one. As Srila Prabhupada explained in his essay, which he wrote as a Vyasa Puja offering to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, which appears as that's featured in that Science of Self-Realization. There is Guru is one, because Guru teaches the same principle. Genuine Guru means one who preaches Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, surrender to him. But at the same time, there is a difference. There's a difference also. Inasmuch as every guru is not a stereotyped robot, but each acharya is an individual person. And apart from having his own individual personality, each acharya teaches according to the circumstances he finds himself in, he addresses. Actually, a few years ago in Vrindavan, on Prabhupada's disappearance day, a Gaurya Math sannyasi, I don't know who it is, I wasn't there, this was related to me, he made an important comment, he had an important realization that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was preaching a very high philosophy, defeating all the different wrong ideas that were present, especially in Bengali society at the time, although he addressed the misconceptions of all misteachers, rascals, as Srila Prabhupada called them, in all places. But he especially, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, especially pinpointed for his cudgeling. Cudgeling means beating with a big stick. The upper sampradayas of Bengal, the Mayavadis, and what had become prominent in society at that time, the empiricists, or what we could say that is the forerunners of the modern scientists. So this Gaurya Math Sannyasi was saying that Swami Maharaj, meaning Prabhupada, he saw the situation and he didn't stereotypically follow Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, but he saw what were the main misleaders or obstacles to Krishna consciousness in the world that he was preaching in the West. And therefore, he spoke very strongly against gross sense gratification and against the mundane scientists. So every teacher has to address the situation and the circumstances in which he is preaching. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was preaching in a Bengal which was different in many ways, even to the Bengal of today. In many ways, it was much more traditional society. So his teachings, in essence, like I say, the essence is the same. But he especially targeted the upper sampradayas, the Mayavadis, and also his manner of presentation was extremely complex. It seems almost impossible to understand. You've read Brahma Samhita. The materialistic demeanor cannot possibly stretch to the transcendental logic I've already lost. Yeah, that's just the first line of the book. First clause. So his Bengali, if anything, was more difficult. His English was almost understood. But his Bengali, there are so many books published of his. And several times I've shown his articles to well-educated people, Bengalis, who are quite, you know, it's their mother tongue, they know Bengali very well, they read intellectual works in Bengali, they cannot understand. To understand his writing, one has to know a good measure of Sanskrit, because he mixes Sanskrit so much with his Bengali. Good knowledge of Sanskrit, knowledge of Vaishnav and other philosophies, some cultural background, and on top of that, you really have to be in the mood that he's in to catch a guitar. He called his language Bhagavatiya Bhasha. And that was, not only did he speak and write in that language, but he required that his disciples also do so in the publication. The Bhagavatiya Bhasha means that he would, Bhagavat, the language of the Srimad Bhagavatam, he would intertwine it with his writing, with his sentences. It's a little difficult to explain in English, but something like this. It's, because they are possessed, I'll try and say something in English, because they are possessed of the consciousness expounded by the Abhijananti Mahamudha verse. So like this, you would use a few words from Shastra, and you're just supposed to know that, of course, Abhijananti Mahamudha. Probably know that, but then there are so many quotes from Bhagavatam, all the time, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and you're just, the person who's reading it is just supposed to know, it's not, you just give the verse, you wouldn't explain it, and you're just supposed to know, like that. And then what to speak of, anyway, it's difficult to explain, very complex style of his presentation. And our own Srila Prabhupada was very, presentation was very simple. It's so amazing that Prabhupada's books, devotees can read it, and even people without any background of knowledge of Krishna consciousness, these books are distributed on the streets. People, they're smoking a cigarette in one hand, you show them the book, and they take it and they walk away, smoking, looking at it, they have no background. But they can also begin to understand. So that is the amazing gift of Srila Prabhupada, that he gave this same knowledge in a simple format, the same essential knowledge. Now we may say then, why should we listen, why should we understand Bhaktisiddhanta teachings at all? Well, in one sense we could say that there's no need to, we can just read Prabhupada's books and that's all we need to go back to Godhead. But at the same time, we should also understand that although Guru is one, and we simply have to follow our Guru, we also understand that a guru is representing a tradition. It's not that he just appears somewhere and just starts speaking something on his own volition, like Sai Baba or something like this. They just pop up somewhere and they start speaking all nonsense, and it's people who are foolish accept him because he's Sai Baba and he makes ashes, things like that. But a genuine guru presents himself that I am a servant of my guru, I'm a servant of the parampara. Whatever I'm speaking on the basis of guru, sadhana, shastra. So, the guru is the representative of the whole parampara. Traditionally, in the morning, in every sampradaya, even the Mayavadis, on rising, they recite the names of all the acharyas in the parampara. So the first thing that you can remember, the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he find Balade Vidya Bhushan, he gave some verses from here, the names of all the parampara acharyas. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur made for recitation for his disciples the song Krishna Hoite Chatur Mukha Hoi Krishna Shivam Bhakta. This song describing the parampara, so that we can understand that our guru, it's just the opposite to the modern Western way of thinking, which one is an artist, or he has to do something creative and new. But as Prabhupada would say, I am not giving anything new. Or as he said about his own Guru Maharaj, old wine in new bottles. It's an English saying. It's the same message of the parampara, but the format is somewhat different. The mode of presentation is somewhat different. So the glory of an acharya is not that he gives something new. That is his downfall, and he's a rascal. He's not an acharya. The glory of an acharya is that he transmits faithfully, without any change, what he has heard. Without any change, you may say, well, there's a change. A change in format. But the essence, the philosophy, is not different. So, when we consider this, that Srila Prabhupada, he would always say, I have not done anything myself. If there is any credit, it is that I simply followed my Guru Maharaj. I simply followed his instructions. I simply repeated what he said. I simply tried to fulfill his desire. So if we actually have regard for Srila Prabhupada, we actually have some insights into how great he is, then certainly we shall be desirous to understand who has produced such a personality. Like I said, gurus, it's not like you find them in the cabbage patch or something like this. They don't just appear. But guru means he's trained by his guru. Srila Prabhupada said, I learned all the basics of Krishna consciousness from my father, was a pure devotee. And then the special thing I learned from my Guru Maharaj is book production, book distribution. So, naturally we will be very eager to understand who is the great personality who could produce an acharya like Srila Prabhupada. Just like Srila Prabhupada himself sometimes told the story that the rabbit, the she-rabbit, said to the tigress, I have 4 litters every year, and each time I produce 10 rabbits. And you, less than once a year, you get pregnant, and then you only produce one at a time, one tiger. So I'm producing so many children. The tiger said, yeah, but my children are tigers. So, who is that personality who can produce such an acharya, who can, with nothing but faith in the words of his guru, go alone to a foreign country? Nowadays we think, where am I going to go and preach this year? Well, I think I'll go here and there, and go to Russia and South America. Everything's there. Devotees are there, temples are there. People know about Krishna consciousness. There's nothing. People couldn't even understand Prabhupada's accent. He went alone. He had faith in the order of his spiritual master. Sometimes devotees used to ask him about that. Prabhupada, you were alone. Prabhupada said, I was never alone. My spiritual master was always with me. So what kind of conviction and dedication and devotion did that personality have who could inspire such a person, who could inspire Srila Prabhupada, who could give rise to a personality like this? Of course, we mostly see Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in relationship to Srila Prabhupada, but we have to remember also that he founded a dynamic preaching movement. Nowadays when we say Gauri Amat, we have so many things we think due to later history, whatever it may be. But actually the Gauri Amat that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur founded, or the real Gauri Amat, that is certainly very glorious. How he was able to inspire, actually, many of his followers, they were very brilliant personalities, actually. How he was able to inspire them to leave all their aspirations for worldly progress, their loving mothers. Very difficult for us. And serve the mission, and to go out and face the opposition of the world. Because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was fighting. He got the name Lion Guru. He was known as Lion Guru, Simha Guru. So it's easy to hear about it and glorify it, but to actually go, to speak to people like that, just like I was saying, this one respectable gentleman came to God many times. The Guru is not an entertainer who gives semi-spiritual. As he would explain, there's no semi-spiritual, it's material. He doesn't give semi-spiritual entertainment so that we can go away and say, oh, that was very good. Because like sometimes you say, well, he's a nice devotee. That means there's someone who's not, some devotee is not nice. Teaching must be from the fully spiritual platform. That has much to do with the attitude of the speaker also. Why is he speaking? He must be pure in his motives also. Anyway, like I say, I'll discuss more about that tomorrow. So this Bhaktisiddhanta Vani, the teachings of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Of course, there's no difference between the teachings of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and the teachings of Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. There's no difference. If there was a difference, then we wouldn't be here today. Because Srila Prabhupada had the power to preach Krishna consciousness all over the world, as he himself repeatedly said, because I simply repeated what I heard from my spiritual master, and I simply tried to please him and follow his orders. And therefore all power came to him to spread Bhaktisiddhanta Vani, which is non different from Bhaktivedanta Vani is non different from Bhaktisiddhanta Vani. So if he had been teaching something else, then the potency to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world wouldn't have been there. He might have been able to spread some kind of cheating religion. But the genuine Krishna consciousness, and that can only be transmitted by a genuine devotee. A genuine devotee means one who follows his guru. So, in essence, there is no difference between Bhaktisiddhanta Vani and Bhaktivedanta Vani. So you may think then, well, we already know Bhaktivedanta Vani, we've read the book, so let's go to another seminar where there, maybe there's some more nectar. Well, there is some difference also. Not difference in essence, because Guru is one. As Srila Prabhupada explained in his essay, which he wrote as a Vyasa Puja offering to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, which appears in, that's featured in that Science of Self-Realization. There is, Guru is one, because Guru teaches the same principle. Genuine Guru means one who preaches Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, surrender to him. But at the same time, there is a difference. There's a difference also. Inasmuch as every guru is not a stereotyped robot, but each acharya is an individual person. And apart from having his own individual personality, each acharya teaches according to the circumstances he finds himself in, he addresses. Actually, a few years ago in Vrindavan, on Prabhupada's disappearance day, a Gaudiya Math sannyasi, I don't know who it is, I wasn't there, this was related to me, he made an important comment, he had an important realization that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was preaching very high philosophy, defeating all the different wrong ideas that were present, especially in Bengali society at the time, where he addressed the misconceptions of all misteachers, rascals, as Srila Prabhupada would call them, in all places. But he especially, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, especially pinpointed for his cudgeling. Cudgeling means beating with a big stick. The upper sampradayas of Bengal, the Mayavadis, and the what had become prominent in society at that time, the empiricists, or what we would, we could say that is the forerunners of the modern scientists. So this Gaudiya Math Sannyasi was saying that Swami Maharaj, meaning Prabhupada, he saw the situation and he didn't stereotypically follow Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, but he saw what were the main misleaders or obstacles to Krishna consciousness in the world that he was preaching in the West, and therefore he spoke very strongly against gross sense gratification and against the mundane scientists. So every teacher has to address the situation and the circumstances in which he is preaching. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was preaching in a Bengal which was different in many ways, even to the Bengal of today. In many ways, it was much more traditional society. So his teachings, in essence, like I said, the essence is the same. But he especially targeted the upper sampradayas, the Mayavadis, and also his manner of presentation was extremely complex. It seems almost impossible to understand. You've read Brahma Samhita. The materialistic demeanor cannot possibly stretch to the transcendental logic I've already lost. Yeah, that's just the first line of the book. First clause. So his Bengali, if anything, was modern. His English was almost but his Bengali, there are so many books published of his. And several times I've shown his articles to well-educated people, Bengalis, who are quite, you know, it's their mother tongue, they know Bengali very well, they read intellectual works in Bengali, they cannot understand. To understand his writing, one has to be, one has to know a good measure of Sanskrit, because he mixes Sanskrit so much with his Bengali. Good knowledge of Sanskrit, knowledge of Vaishnava and other philosophies, some cultural background, and on top of that, you really have to be in the mood that he's in to catch him at all. He called his language Bhagavatiya Bhasha. And that was, not only did he speak and write in that language, but he required that his disciples also do so in the publication. The Bhagavatiya Bhasha means that he would, Bhagavat, the language of the Srimad Bhagavatam, he would intertwine it with his writing, with his sentences. It's a little difficult to explain in English. But something like this, it's, because they are possessed of, I'm trying to say something in English, because they are possessed of the consciousness expounded by the Avajananti Mahamudra verse. So like this, you would use a few words from Shastra and you're just supposed to know it, because Avajananti Mahamudra, you probably know that. Then there are so many, like, so many quotes from Bhagavatam, all the time, Chaitanya Charitamrita. You're just, the person who's reading it is just supposed to know it. It's not, you just get the verse, you wouldn't explain it, you're just supposed to know it. Like that. So, and what to speak of it, anyway, it's difficult to explain. Very complex style of his presentation. And our own Srila Prabhupada was very, his presentation was very simple. It's so amazing that Prabhupada's books, devotees can read it, and even people without any background of knowledge of Krishna consciousness, that these books are distributed on the streets. People they're smoking a cigarette in one hand and show them the book and they take it and they walk away. They're smoking, looking at it, and they have no background. But they can also begin to understand. So this is the amazing gift of Srila Prabhupada, that he gave this same knowledge in a simple format, the same essential knowledge. Now we may say then, why should we listen, why should we understand Bhaktisiddhanta teachings at all? Well, in one sense we could say that there's no need to. We can just read Prabhupada's books and that's all we need to go back to Godhead. But at the same time, we should also understand that although Guru is one, and we simply have to follow our Guru, we also understand that a Guru is representing a tradition. It's not that he just appears somewhere and just starts speaking something on his own volition. Like Sai Baba or something like this, they just pop up somewhere and they start speaking all nonsense, and people who are foolish accept him because he's Sai Baba and he makes ashes, things like that. But a genuine guru presents himself that I am a servant of my guru, I'm a servant of the parampara. Whatever I'm speaking on the basis of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. So, Guru is the representative of the whole parampara. Traditionally, in the morning, in every sampradaya, even the Mayavadis, on rising, they recite the names of all the acharyas in the parampara. So the first thing they can remember, the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, we find Baladev Vidyabhushan and he gave some verses from here and out of the names of all the parampara acharyas. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur made for recitation for his disciples the song Krishna Haite Chatur Mukha Hai Krishna Shivam Mukha. This song describing the parampara, so that we can understand that our guru, it's just the opposite to the modern Western way of thinking, which one is an artist, or he has to do something creative and new. But as Prabhupada would say, I am not giving anything new. Or as he said about his own Guru Maharaj, old wine in new bottles. It's an English saying. It's the same message of the parampara, but the format is somewhat different. The mode of presentation is somewhat different. So the glory of an acharya is not that he gives something new. That is his downfall, and he's a rascal. The glory of an acharya is that he transmits faithfully, without any change, what he has heard. Without any change, you may say, well, there's a change. Change in format. That the essence, the philosophy, is not different. So, when we consider this, that Srila Prabhupada, he would always say, I have not done anything myself. If there is any credit, it is that I simply followed my Guru Maharaj. I simply followed his instructions. I simply repeated what he said. I simply tried to fulfill his desire. So if we actually have regard for Srila Prabhupada, we actually have some insights into how great he is, then certainly we shall be desirous to understand who has produced such a personality. Like I said, gurus, it's not like you find them in the cabbage patch or something like this. They don't just appear. But guru means he's trained by his guru. As Srila Prabhupada said, I learned all the basics of Krishna consciousness from my father. And then the special thing I learned from my Guru Maharaj is book production, book distribution. So naturally we will be very eager to understand who is the great personality who could produce an acharya like Srila Prabhupada. Just like Srila Prabhupada himself sometimes told the story that the rabbits, the she-rabbit said to the tigress, I have 4 litters every year, and each time I produce 10 rabbits. And you, less than once a year, you get pregnant, and then you only produce one at a time, one tiger. So I'm producing so many children. The tiger said, yeah, but my children are tigers. So, who is that personality who can produce such an acharya who can, with nothing but faith in the words of his guru, go alone to foreign countries? Nowadays we think, where am I going to go and preach this year? Well, I think I'll go here and now I'll go to Russia and South America. Everything's there. Devotees are there, temples are there. People know about Krishna consciousness, and there was nothing. People couldn't even understand Prabhupada's accent. He went alone. He had faith in the order of his spiritual master. Sometimes devotees used to ask him about that. The Prabhupada, you were alone. Prabhupada said, I was never alone. My spiritual master was always with me. So what kind of conviction and dedication and devotion did that personality have who could inspire such a person, who could inspire Srila Prabhupada, who could give rise to a personality like this? Of course, we mostly see Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur in relationship to Srila Prabhupada. We have to remember also that he founded that dynamic preaching movement. Nowadays, when we say Gauriya Math, we have so many things we think due to later history, whatever it may be. But actually, the Gauriya Math that Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur founded, or the real Gauriya Math, that is certainly very glorious. How he was able to inspire, actually, many of his followers, they were very brilliant personalities, actually. How he was able to inspire them to leave all their aspirations for worldly progress, their loving mothers. Very difficult for Bengalis to give up their mothers. So they left everything to live in the mat and serve the mission and to go out and face the opposition of the world. Because Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur was fighting. He got the name Lion Guru. He was known as Lion Guru. So it's easy to hear about it and glorify it, but to actually go, to speak to people like that, just like I said, this one respectable gentleman came to Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur and he said, like, just, you should hear Hari Katha. Your son is dying, doesn't matter. Stay and hear. It's more important. Who had the conviction and the boldness to say this? To go against everything in the world. He fought against everything. When we think of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, we think of a great transcendental fighter. So who has the courage to do that? How unpopular will you become? Everyone wants to be thought of as someone nice. He didn't care about being thought of as nice. He didn't want to become part of the materialistic way of thinking, or the whole materialistic mode of life. He fought against everything. He became unpopular. People tried to kill him. Can you imagine? It's very difficult to imagine that you're speaking in such a way and you know that this is going to be so much dislike, very likely people may want to kill you. But still, he went there throughout his whole life. And devotees, his followers also, they were expected to pick up that mood. They're expected to go out and fight. So, Bhaktisiddhanta, we can try to understand what are his teachings. This is the essence. There's Vani and Vapu. Vani means instructions. Vapu means the form. So we're told that Vani is more important than Vapu. How are we to understand this? We can understand it like this. Vani means instructions and Vapu means personal presence. So one may be in the personal presence of an acharya, but not get any real benefit. The example is given, a mosquito may also be in the personal presence. Bhavanacharya, when he bites him, he doesn't get any transcendental benefit. This quote is Rai Sachar Thakur used to call Prakata Vastu Nahe, a Prakata Vastu Nahe, Prakata Gochara. That which is transcendental, it is not within the jurisdiction of understanding of the material. So if one approaches the Guru, even though he may be in the presence of, but if one has materialistic consciousness, he can't benefit. Whereas someone who may never have personal association, but they may hear the Vani, or they may read the Vani, they can get full benefit. So the Vani, that is the instruction, that is the essence of understanding Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Bhaktisiddhanta, this very name means that the ultimate conclusion of all Vedic knowledge is bhakti. This name Bhaktisiddhanta is exactly applicable to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, because he was expert in, first of all, understanding what is Bhaktisiddhanta. There are so many different opinions on so many different points, but he would give the exact understanding, which often, how he explained, was unprecedented. His explanation. Just to give an example, so many, if you read his recorded lectures and letters, because his vision was completely in line with Krishna's, or more exactly, completely in line with Radharani, who was the topmost servant of Krishna. So he knew exactly what is the essence of Shastra. For instance, just one of many examples, how he explained Shastra with the proper understanding. In Mahabharata is the story of Ekalavya, who was a hunter, Naishad, jungle-dwelling hunter, who wanted to be a disciple of Dronacharya, who didn't agree, but anyway, Ekalavya fashioned an image of Dronacharya and worshipped him and practiced archery before that image. And he became very expert, so much so that once when Dronacharya took the young Kaurava and Pandava princes to the forest for hunting, that one of the dogs who was accompanying their party was barking so much, he'd gone ahead and was barking, he'd seen this hunter, and the hunter closed his mouth with a volley of arrows. An amazing feat, not very easy thing to do. So immediately the Dronacharya and the Kauravas present, Kauravas means, includes the Pandavas, they're also Kauravas in one sense, descendants of them. So they could understand that we're in the presence of an unparalleled marksman. So then they saw him, and Ekalavya bowed down to Dronacharya and asked him, how have you become so expert that you're able to perform such a feat? And he said, well, it's by your mercy, I'm worshipping you, I've got this skill. So then Arjuna, he said to Dronacharya, you promised me that I would be the most accomplished of your students. And now this upstart has usurped that role. Now what are you going to do? You promised me. So then Dronacharya asked Ekalavya that now I need Guru Dakshina. You have to give me something. Yes, what do you want? Give me your thumb. And you can't shoot properly without thumbs. So he gave it. So the general misunderstanding, which was prominent in human society and still is that Arjuna was envious of Ekalavya. He was influenced by material considerations. and therefore he arranged for this. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained that Ekalavya was actually a fraud. He was bogus. He hadn't got permission to study under Drona. He had stolen the knowledge. He had no right to say that Drona was his guru when he hadn't been accepted by him. So to punish Ekalavya, so that the principle of Guru Parampara should be properly upheld, Arjuna did this. Arjuna and Drona did like this. Similarly in Mahabharata, it's the famous story that Krishna asked Drona, that before the battle, Yudhishthira Maharaj, before you embark on any major endeavor, one should offer respects to and ask blessings of one's guru. So a major endeavor, fighting a big war. So Yudhishthira went to ask the blessings and permission of his guru. So Drona, Bhishma, Ashwatthama, so many, but they were mostly on the other side. So one has to get instructions, blessings. So he went to all of them and he said to, he was asking them, please give me your blessings, yes, blessings so I can fight against you, yes, yes. And then he can tell you, then you have to give some instruction also. So please tell us how we can kill you. So they were explaining a different way. So Drona said that, well, I can't be killed only if my son Ashwatthama is killed, and out of disappointment, I won't be able to fight, then you can kill me. So next he went to Ashwatthama and asked for blessings, because even though they were the same age, he was Brahmin. They asked for blessings. Okay, bless you. So, and tell us how we can kill you, Kant. You can't kill me. I'm going to be alive at the end of this battle. He's still alive, Ashwatthama. Jyanji. So, what to do? After the fall of Bhishma, Drona became the commander-in-chief of the Kaurava forces, and he was fighting so fiercely that it appeared that within one day he was going to defeat, or he was going to, not just defeat, kill them all, single-handedly. So then the Pandavas had a little conference. What are we going to do about this? Well, we have to kill Drona. We can't kill him unless Ashwatthama is killed. How are we going to kill him? We can't kill him. So what are we going to do? So then Krishna, who is very intelligent, he thought up a plan, you all know this, that we'll announce Ashwatthama is dead. We'll tell a lie. So Yudhishthira didn't like it very much, but they convinced him, all right, all fell in love and war. So then, who's going to announce it? Krishna said, Yudhishthira, you have to do it. Me? I can't do it. How can I? I never told a lie in my life. And now you want me to lie to my guru? In a manner that will cause his death? How can you possibly ask me to do this? Why don't you do it? You're God. Krishna said, no, I can't do it because he won't believe me. Known to be a tricky fellow. The only one he'll believe is you, because you never told a lie in your life. You're the only one you're famous for. None of the others are famous for that. So Yudhishthira didn't want to do it. Then Krishna thought that, well, okay, what we'll do, there's one elephant on our forces called Ashwatthama. We'll kill him just to satisfy you, just so you don't have to tell a lie. We'll kill the elephant. And then you can announce Ashwatthama is dead. And just to make you feel more happy, you'll say Ashwatthama, and then I'll blow my conch, and you can say the elephant. And when I stop blowing my conch, you can say he's dead. You won't tell a lie. So it was done. And after after this incident, Yudhishthira Maharaj, whose chariot, by the grace of his pious activities, his chariot would never touch the ground. It would go along just above the ground. It came down to the ground. So the Karmi commentators say, it's because he told a lie. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained. Bhaktisiddhanta, giving the proper understanding according to the principles of bhakti, is that Yudhishthira's chariot didn't come down because he told a lie. Following Krishna's instruction can never be sinful. His hesitation to follow Krishna's instruction was the cause of his loss of life. Not that because he told a lie. If he had agreed immediately, then the chariot would have still remained. So this way, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur saw everything with the eyes of Bhaktisiddhanta. This term is mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Bhaktisiddhanta Virutta Arasabhas Shunile Prabhu Chite Nahoyolash. That Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was never happy to hear any statement that was contradictory to Bhaktisiddhanta. In other words, a philosophical statement that did not uphold the conclusion of pure devotional service. And also rasabhas, the improper mixing of mellows. So for this reason, Srupa Damodara Goswami was appointed that, because so many people they like to come, I've written a poem, I've written a drama, let me read it to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. First read it to Srupa Damodara Goswami. Because Srupa Damodara Goswami was the practically the manifestation of the heart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He knew exactly what is in the heart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what would please him and what would not. So, nothing could be read to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, nothing could be presented to him, without first being presented to Sri Damodara Goswami, who in many cases rejected. Because many times, it's very interesting that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is surrounded by pure devotees, but Sri Damodara Goswami, more than others, would find out what is the philosophical deviation. In other words, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, some of his pure devotees, at least in this lila, they were not as astute in recognizing what is proper philosophy, as was Sri Damodara Goswami. We have that instance in the poet coming to Bengal, coming from Bengal, who wanted to read his drama, and all the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were saying, very nice, you should read it to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Damodara Goswami heard it and said, no, you misunderstood, you're influenced by Mayavada. The other devotees couldn't catch it, he caught it. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he recognized the manifestation of Vedanta Pandit in Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And of Sri Damodara Goswami and Srila Gorky Shodas Pramaji. These were his two gurus. Generally, we say his guru is Gorky Shodas Babaji Maharaj. But practically, the two gurus. He was trained by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So, Gadadha Pandit, he is Radharani. And Sri Damodara Goswami is the intimate associate of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was most expert in understanding the philosophical deviations and correcting them. So these two personalities shaped, just like the saying, who is that who has produced Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada? And who is it who has produced Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur? Bhaktivedanta Thakur and Gorky Shodas Babaji Maharaj. Then we'll have to understand them. To understand Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. we can't understand Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, especially without understanding Bhakti Vinod Thakur. So these are the two prominent traits in the personality of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that Rupanoga Viruddha Pad, Rupanoga Viruddha Apasiddhanta Dvanta Hari. He is the remover of all the misconceptions, of all the bogus ideas, Apasiddhanta, that which is not proper Siddhanta, which is not properly in the line of Rupa Goswami. So that is one prominent feature of his personality. And the other is Madhurya Ujvala Prema Adhyashi Rupanoga Bhaktida. He is giving that love of Krishna, which is given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is enriched with the ultimate sweetness of whom the very source of all sweetness is Srimati Radharani, her sweetness of loving Krishna. So these two things, destroying all misconceptions and establishing what is actually Radha Dasya, service of Radharani, which two things are actually non-different. This is the personality of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Of course, when we're saying Sri Damodar, he found out the misconceptions, but he was also very intimate with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in supplying him songs and shlokas for enriching Mahaprabhu's feelings of separation from Krishna. So there are these two prominent sides to the personality of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. In public and also in teaching his disciples, he was always breaking the misconceptions, showing what is wrong with everything in the world. He made a Bengali verse based on the second verse of Bhagavatam, that priti vite jato jato katha dharanama chale bhagavata kahitaha paripurna chale, that whatever is going on in the world, whatever is being preached in the world in the name of religion, according to the Bhagavad, it's all cheating. And he showed this, how many respected, well-known teachers of religion and their teachings were all bogus. This he learned from coffee shop. Learned, when we say learned, of course he's a self-effulgent also. He came to this world, not in one sense, not that he has anything to learn. But on the other hand, he also learned. That appears to be an impossible statement, but Prakrita Vastu Nahe. Prakrita Gochara, this is transcendental understanding, it's not understandable by material logic. So just like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he once asked Gorky Shodas Babaji Maharaj, who was living in Navadvipa at that time, but previously had been living in Vrindavan, Brajamandal, for many years. And there are many famous Babajis and sadhus and pandits living in Brajamandal, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur once asked him about, well, there's so many famous, well-known Babaji's there. Don't you think, what do you think of them? None of them real devotees? Gorky Shodas Babaji Maharaj simply replied, all bogus. All bogus. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur himself, after completing the 1 month walking tour of Vrindavan, Rajamandal Parikrama, shortly after finishing it, he clacked his hands and said, I traveled all the whole of Vrindavan and I couldn't find any devotee. So many, we saw so many Babas sitting on their cookies and chanting and reading. They're all Kanishka. So it seems like a very scathing admonition, taking the position that I'm right and everyone else is wrong. But he showed how that was so teaching Bhaktisiddhanta. What is actually Bhaktisiddhanta? The real bhakti is on the platform of Asvishava Padaritam Pinashu. This was the standard of bhakti he wanted to teach. Nothing less than this. I'll go into detail about that tomorrow. What he said is the very basis of his teaching. Drishya Vichara. To understand who is the seer and who is the seen. So I'm going to that tomorrow. So again, getting that point, why should we study the teachings of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasar Thakur if we have the teachings of Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada? We're already finding in our society that there are many disputed points of philosophy and methodology in devotional service. And within ISKCON we try to solve these according to the teachings of Srila Prabhupada. Those who are not members of ISKCON may not accept them. That's one point. We may have to refer to wider sources. Just like, for instance, if we meet someone from the Madhva Sampradaya and they say, well, actually there are three kinds of conditioned souls. And we say, well, Prabhupada didn't say that. So then we have to, we care, but our glorification of Prabhupada won't be simply to say that Prabhupada said, but to meet all kinds of opposition and prove that what Prabhupada said is correct. So not everyone's just going to accept what he says. But our glorification will be to show they may be complete atheists, they may believe in modern science, they may believe in Shastra, whatever their platform is, our duty is to uphold his teachings. Now, many of the controversies which have erupted and will erupt within Vaishnav society, they're already treated by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who went into great detail, quoting profusely from Shastra. He was known as a walking encyclopedia, of course, in so many stories. And even many of his disciples it was a different era altogether. Nowadays, if someone knows maybe 1,000 shlokas, people think he's a very learned devotee. But that was a different era. Now, in those days, even in Bengal, and nowadays it's difficult to find any Bengali who knows any shlokas. I mean, in the Vaishnav line there are some, but very few. But in those days, all over India, there were pundits, people who were trained in the scholarly tradition, people who spoke Sanskrit, debated with each other, who knew so much Shastra, not only Shastra, but what are the different explanations of it. Even in Bengal, there's no sign of any such people. At least in South India, there's some sign of a few people. In Bengal, it's completely different. The Brahmin caste, the Brahminical culture is completely destroyed. So, in those days, if anyone was going to preach Krishna consciousness, except on like the very affective level, that means emotional level, which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he wanted to show that Vaishnavism is not simply a villager's religion for uneducated people. So he went among there were two kinds of educated people at that time, or two basic types, those who are with traditional education, that means in Sanskrit and Shastra, and those with modern education, which means English medium or maybe even Bengali medium, mostly English medium, but being educated they'd be educated in Shakespeare and the English writers. And Greek and Latin and Western way of thinking. So he had to meet with both of these kinds of educated people, and he was more, he knew it more than that. He had to. There was no, if you wanted to preach among such people, if you don't know Shastra inside out, upside down, back to front, and not able to explain it, there's no way you couldn't even start. Just like someone telling me there, they rented a house, they have a little preaching center in Madras, Chennai, in the Dominical area. It's like the only area where there are people who still study Shastra in the whole of the city. They're not giving lectures, they're afraid. They just have bhajan, they are, please come and join us and chant Hare Krishna. Because they know if they start to speak, then immediately they'll get fired at. So many quotes from Shastra and this, that, and what are you going to say? We don't know, it's embarrassing. Really don't speak. Just chant Hare Krishna. The better you do know, then you can speak. So like that, he was extremely learned, and there are many different points of Shastric discussion, very, sometimes I may consider very, very fine points. So he would discuss in great detail, and one of the days I'm going to speak about the Upper Sampradayas, who he opposed. Now, he would show in great detail what is wrong with everything in the world except Krishna consciousness as he is teaching. This is Krishna consciousness, and if it's not this, if it's not Bhakti Siddhanta, Anyabhilashita Shunyam Gyan Kama Dinavitaman Kugyena Krishna Mishiva Bhakti Vittama, if it's not Ashlishava Padre Tangulashtaman, if it's not this, then reject it. None of us would make it. We wouldn't have a chance. Prabhupada said, I'm 80% more lenient than my Guru Maharaj. So, if it wasn't, just to give an example, there's this Gaur Nagari sect of Vaishnava, Upper Sampradaya in Bengal. Now, it appears that they're good Vaishnavas. They chant, they're famous for singing nice Vaishnavas. They sing songs, at least attributed to Narahari Sarkar, who was intimate associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Narahari Adi Kali Chamar Dulai, he's mentioned by Dr. Mutta. He's mentioned Chaitanya Chaitanya. So, they wear tilak and they have net beads and they have the gurus and they study Shastra. So, what's wrong with them? They, instead of worshipping Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with Lord Hare Krishna, they worship Gaur Vishnu Priya, well, so there's nothing wrong with that either, because even at the Jogpit we see that the deities of Gaur Vishnu Priya. But the mistake is they have, Krishna has a flute, which, I mean, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is standing there holding a flute, which we don't find in any of the books, in any of the authorized descriptions. But they say that, well, just as Krishna was attracted, so beautiful and attractive to the young girls of Vrindavan, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu similarly is the same form, just golden, instead of blackish, he's golden. So naturally he was attracted to the young women of Nadia. So they worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the enjoyer. That we are his servants. He's the supreme Lord. He's the supreme enjoyer. So we should serve him by that. But Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur pointed out that this is an imposition on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he's not coming in the mood of the enjoyer. He doesn't want to accept that mood. He wants to accept the mood of the servant. So you're disturbing him by giving a flute. He wants to take the role of Radharani. So in great detail, one time, unannounced, without any prior arrangement, one Hiralal Goswami, who was the editor of the Vishnu Priya Patrika, which is like the, that's like the Back to Godhead or something of the Gauranga Nagari, Upper Sampradaya, he arrived at the Gauriya Mart, Calcutta. He just came there, and he met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And means the editor of the magazine means he's a prominent figure He's just like a spokesman for their sampradaya, which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was always speaking against. So he arrived there at the Gauri Math, and he's right there in front. Okay, he told, this is all that's wrong with you. He told him straight up. So this Hiralal Goswami, he wrote in the next edition of the Vishnu Priya Patrika that I was very fortunate to have the darshan of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Even though we have a difference of opinion on how to worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we have to accept that he's a very great personality who is doing tremendous service for promoting the teachings of Gauriya Vaishnavism. So in reply, in the next 5 issues of the Gauriya magazine, there were long articles, great detail, pointing out all the faults in the Gauranga Nagari Sampradaya. He didn't write back, yes, we had a nice meeting, and it was very nice, and you're very nice, and I'm very nice, and we're all very nice, and everything's very nice. Not like that at all. We don't want your friendship. Let's be friends. No. You're offending Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Your so-called worship is offensive. Now, just to give some idea of the incredible insights that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had, he showed how Gauranga Nagaris are actually Nirvisheshvadis. Nirvishesh means like Mayavadi. Nirvishesh literally means without Vishesha, without Vishesha. Without Vaishishta, it means without any special distinguishing characteristic. So the Mayavadi said that everything is one. I said, well, this is a book. Why is it a book? Because it's shaped like this and it's made of paper with a cover. It is called a book. It is what anyone, by any definition, would call a book. And this is a bag. It has its special distinguishing characteristics by which we call it a bag. We recognize it as a bag. So everything has its distinguishing characteristic. But the Mayavadis want to say Nirvishesh. Ultimately, there is no distinguishing characteristic. Everything is all one. That we see this as different from this is simply an illusion. Nirvishesh. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he showed how the Gauranga Nagaris, they are Nirvisheshvadi. Because Krishna Leela has its Vaishishtya, its distinguishing characteristic. That when Krishna, who is Swayam Bhagavan, Rasa Vilasi, he enjoys the Rasa dance. When he comes in that mood, and when he comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he comes in a different mood. But the Gauranga Nagaris want to say there is no difference. There is no distinguishing characteristic between Krishna Leela and Gaur Leela. Therefore, they are Nirvisheshvadis. You see, they're worshipping the form of Krishna, of Gauranga. How they Nirvisheshvadis? So, in so many ways, he pointed out faults of the Gauranga Nagari. So in this way, he established Bhakti Siddhanta. This Pranam mantras, if you examine, you'll find that Sambandha Abhideya Prayojan, his contribution, Sambandha Abhideya Prayojan, is all in here. But especially if we examine his teachings, we'll find that it was mostly on the platform of Sambandha Gyan. Sambandha Gyan means understanding our relationship with Krishna. Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Dayane Prabhavena Maha. He was very powerful in presenting what is the relationship that we have with Krishna. Krishna Sambandha Vigyan means very specific knowledge, very precise. Another feature of this Bhagavad-gita Bhasha, or the language that Bhaktisthakur is very complex. Now one reason is that he wrote in a manner that it could not be misinterpreted. You can't take it and get some other meaning out of it. He wrote in great detail and extremely precisely. Every word had its specific point, so that exactly the point would be stated. There was not vague. That's one thing I remember when I first came in contact with the devotees, that I appreciated so much. Not vague. Devotee is not a maybe, if, but person. Devotee knows the absolute truth and is convinced and presents it. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's language was precisely defining what is Sambandha Gyan in all its details, and how we can deviate from that. We'll find most of his teachings. He didn't, although he personally relished the moods of, he personally cultivated meditation upon the moods of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in feeling separation from Krishna, but his teaching was very much on the platform of Sambandha Gyan, and of course Abhideya also. But Abhideya, the main stress was this: Harinam, chant the holy names, and hear from the proper devotee. Is hearing. How much stress are you going to hear, just like I opened the seminar? They'll make more on that later. But otherwise, the whole point, why we should be Krishna conscious. Why we should be Krishna conscious, not why we might take to Krishna, why you might like to take to Krishna consciousness. But rather, it is everybody's overwhelming necessity to immediately take to Krishna. Like this, my son is dying, doesn't matter. Let him die. You hear. Well, the Navadeep Dham Parikrama, he revived this. So, when this was over, he was 1 year. All the devotees were, so many devotees, they were mostly so many householder devotees who come to join the Navadeep Dham Parikrama. So they came to, when it was over, they came to offer their obeisances and go back home. So they all came to him and he said, I thought you had come to serve me, but now I can understand that you are simply cheating. How are we cheating? We cheating? What do we do? What do we do wrong? You came to be with me, and now you're going away again. And naturally, you would expect householder devotees, they have their homes and everything. You're going away again. You should just stay. So, they didn't, but the point he was stressing, the overwhelming necessity of being Krishna conscious. There's nothing else of any importance. This is reality. There's another point, a very cornerstone of his preaching was the use of the term vastavik sakya, the really real thing. What is the actual truth? So his constant stress on this, that jivasya tat vijnyasa, life is meant for inquiring into the absolute truth. So there was once a young man had become his disciple, and taking permission, this young man taking permission from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had a deity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fashioned, and he brought that on, and he wrote that he wrote to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur that now I want to train up my son, 4 years old, Gorda. I want to train him up when he gets older, how to do the worship and everything. But this Saraswati Thakur wrote back that there are so many Gordasses in the world. But this attachment to family life and attainment of Krishna do not go well together. He just wrote that. And shortly after that, so he was... wondering what to do. One of Bhaktisiddhanta's sannyasis came to visit in his home and preached to him, and he took the deity of God, said, I'm taking this to the temple. You want to worship? You come to. So he came. Nowadays we don't do things like that. I don't personally have it. I find that people's level of pronunciation is very poor. But that same young man himself went on to become a sannyasi. So this kind of all or nothing, that you take to Krishna consciousness. There's no other need. Sometimes there's another very big topic, which a whole book could be written on, is that sometimes, actually a book should be written on, certain so-called followers of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they say that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he didn't properly follow Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very mild in his approach. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was anything but mild. Actually, this one time Prabhupada, his godbrothers, well, almost godbrother, OBL Kapoor, who was in Vrindavan, Prabhupada mentioned that OBL Kapoor, my godbrother, said that I am the only one who is speaking like my Guru Maharaj. This rascal, fool, nonsense, animal, all these, I'm the only one who's speaking like my Guru Maharaj. Prabhupada wrote one letter that my Guru Maharaj never compromised, I never compromised, and my disciples also shouldn't compromise. I wish this would be adopted as the motto of ISKCON, because Hare Krishna, how much compromise. So this non-compromising spirit appeared to be opposite to that of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also wrote against Apasampadaya and so many things, but his general approach was quite mild. And he, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his Sajjana Toshani magazine, he even allowed different things written by different people who Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur rejected as Sahajiyas. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur was friends with people who Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati didn't like them at all. He didn't mind telling them, he didn't like them either. So I can say we can laugh, but at the time it produced a lot of, you could say, a lot of tension. We like to hear stories about how Ramanuja, for instance, or different devotees, they took great risks in serving the Lord, they risked their lives, because they only wanted to speak the truth and not compromise.
But why they risk their life? It's very unpopular to speak the truth. We're living in a world of falsehood. So we like to imagine what is untruth to be truth. But if we speak the truth, then we'll find that even many persons who are supposed to be dedicated to the truth, they also don't like it, because we prefer to feel comfortable rather than speak the truth. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he appeared to be friendly with so many different kinds of pseudo Vaishnavas. He was rather, he would speak and write against them, but he was very mild in his approach. And for instance, he recommended Grihastha life as the best situation for a Vaishnava. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, as you just heard, was he very much wanted to create sannyasis, renunciates, and even the grihasthas. He said, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said that grihastha life is a license for sense gratification, and that in family life one's advancement is very slow or almost nil. But then for his grihastha disciples, he expected them to be practically just like the brahmacharis anyway, except they lived at home. He expected them to be very strict in their practices. They were supposed to, if they were living close to the mud, they were supposed, every morning and evening they were supposed to come. They weren't supposed to see their home. The purpose of life is to serve Krishna. So what's the meaning of initiation if you don't? You have to associate with devotees, otherwise you can't understand Krishna. So he's very uncompromising like this, and so is many of the followers of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and this is still, there are still some foolish people even today who opine like this, that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a deviant from the line of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he had to present like that just to get Vaishnavism accepted at some level, because the whole society was ridden with Sahajiyas and bogus people at that time. He said that many of the people who think they are followers of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they never saw him. They never had any association with him. Many people who thought they were very dear to him, they had actually no relationship with him. Just like, for instance, one professor came to visit Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, and in the course of conversation, the professor said, this was after the disappearance of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. So the professor said that, well, you know, I used to, it may have been that Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur was quoting Bhaktivinoda Thakur. The professor had some different opinion, and the professor said, well, you know, I used to recite the Gita to Bhaktivinoda Thakur so many times. I used to read to him. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said, you have never seen Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He said, well, what do you mean I've never seen him? And you saw me many times with him. I'm well known to him, I'm well known to so many of his sons, and he used to treat me with respect, he would never send me away without feeding me. I'm older than you, how can you speak to me in order like this? So, you have never seen Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He never had any sons. So he was completely confused. You mean he never had any sons? Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he said that those who see, because because one of his brothers, Lalita Prasad Thakur, was one who was the leader of those who were criticizing Bimala Prasad, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, on this line. So he said that, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that if you see one who sees Bhakti known as Baba, Baba means father, then they become, actually it's a very complex explanation. The uka in becomes a ref. It's anyway, you have to understand Bengali, otherwise you can't. All the complexities, you can't follow. Unless you know Bengali. But anyway, he said that if you think of him as Baba, then that becomes a badha. Badha means obstruction. In one's worship of Radha. So Baba, Badha, Radha. So like this, he was very expert in making points, using language in different ways. Similarly, one time, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was criticizing this Rasa Kirtan. It's very common in Bengal. No, it's just an entertainment, Hare Krishna Kirtan, so-called Kirtan. But they also sell here professional, the recordings of professional singers singing Rasa Kirtan. So in which they're describing the intimate leelas of Krishna. And people like to hear it. They don't like to hear this is Bhagavata. How the basic principle of material life is attraction between male and female. On the basis of this, one's attachment for home, wife, children, money, family, friends, home, bank balance, etc. expand, and one is plunged into the ignorance of thinking in terms of I, me, and mine. This is Bhagavata. But people don't like to hear this. If you make a kirtan group singing, no one will want to hear it. But if they hear little Krishna is stealing the butter, and they like that, and even more they like how he's stealing the gopis' clothes, they like to hear this. So there are many sweet singers who sing in very sweet voices. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was saying, this is nothing to do with bhakti. This is not only nothing to do with bhakti, it's against the principle of bhakti to listen to this, unless one is properly qualified to hear. And if one is properly qualified to hear, you won't want to hear from professionals anyway. So one person who was he was discussing with, this man had actually been a great, you could say, friend of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He helped him in establishing the temple at the Yogpeet, which was done with a lot of opposition because it destroyed the business, to a large extent it destroyed the business of the so-called birthplace, of the two different birthplaces of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Navadvip. Two different birthplaces. So he was done with a lot of opposition. So this man had been, he'd actually been the secretary of the Navadvipa Dhammacharya Sabha. He'd been a great helper of Bhaktivinoda Thakur in establishing the temple at the Jogpeet, which is not the temple you see now. That was the big temple you see now was actually built by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, by one of his disciples, the Sakhichara. And that, if you come in the entrance, and go and you take the ashram, and there's like an office directly in front. That was the original temple, but there was just a small building. And later it was just a hut, probably. So Bhaktivinoda established that, and later it developed. It's going under. So this guy, Nafar Chandra Pal, he said, well, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was saying that this Rasa Kirtan, it's all bogus. And then this Nafar Pal said, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur liked it. He said the same thing. You do not know Bhaktivinoda. You have never seen Bhaktivinoda. He was there helping him in establishing this temple. He said, but he said, Nafar Pal said that, well, I personally was sitting next to him at the Yogpeet when a Ras Kirtan group was performing, and he had arranged for the performance. He had called them and made all the arrangements. And he was sitting there and enjoying it. And you were there too. He said, Bhaktivinoda Thakur never listened to this so-called Rasa Kirtan. You have never seen Bhaktivinoda. It's very difficult to understand. Unless one has the vision that comes from Bhakti Siddhanta. And has, in one essay which Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur wrote, he explained that one cannot understand Bhaktivinoda Thakur unless he hears from the pure devotee who is the actual representative of Bhaktivinoda. In other words, himself. He may not have written this article actually, it may have been written by one of his disciples, but the articles that were written in Gloria Communist are all based on his teachings at that time at least. So his point was that he explained that Bhaktivinoda Thakur had to make various compromises just to make a start in preaching the message Bhaktivinoda Bani. But the actual message of Bhaktivinoda Thakur has to be understood in the light of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. One has to be intelligent enough, that means he has to take the intelligence from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, to understand what are his actual teachings. Otherwise one will be bewildered. So in this way, revolutionary in every way, very absolutely unique figure, presenting Krishna consciousness that had been practically lost. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was the first to revive Krishna consciousness from the darkness of how it had been. It had been practically lost. That means there were maybe a few reclusive Babaji's and a few householders who were practicing, but the pure practice, and especially the Priti Vite Ache Gatanaga Adhigram Sabhatrapacha Haide Morana, how this could be fulfilled, how Krishna consciousness could be spread all over the world. No one had any idea of this. No one was thinking of it. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he wrote about this. It's a well-known quote. Those who come to my book, they hear this. When will that day come when the English, Americans, French, Prussians will come together and embrace their Bengali brothers and together chant Jai Shachi Nandana, Jai Shachi. That day is not far distant, he wrote, when the church of Kirtan will be accepted as the universal church of the world. So at that time no one had any inkling of, no one was even thinking. That statement was there in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Priti Vite Ache Gatanagara Nigam Sabhatra Prachar Haibe Morana. That statement was there, but no one was really thinking very much about it. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, that day will come. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also said, it will come. He made moves. He sent devotees to the Western countries. But it actually reached its fruition in Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So it reached its fruition, at least we can say, in the pioneering stages. We're still pioneering. still not every town and village. But no one could see how that was possible. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is called the pioneer of the modern Krishna conscious movement. So that vision, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, everything he took, he was made of Bhaktivinoda. Just as Prabhupada, if we're to understand, he is made of Bhaktisiddhanta. Bhaktivedanta is made of Bhaktisiddhanta. Bhaktisiddhanta is made of Bhaktivinoda. They're all non-different terms. What is that? Saraswati Krishna Priya, Krishna Bhakti Tar here. We know there, Shai Shai Bhava. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote in Kalyan Kalpataru, one of his poetic works, that Saraswati is very dear to Krishna. Krishna Bhakti is his heart. And he is the manifestation of the opulence of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So what Bhaktivinoda Thakur had to say, what he had to do, that was manifested through Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And that continues to be manifested through the Parampara. This is the Parampara. A genuine disciple is one who understands what is the manovishtam, the heart's desire, the inner heart's desire of his guru and acts to manifest it. Sri Chaitanya manovishtam sthapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam kadati swapadantikam. What is the inner heart's desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Rupa Goswami manifested that. Therefore we are known as Rupa Anuga. Why not Sanatana Anuga? Because Sanatana was older than Rupa Goswami. We're known as Rupa Anuga, sometimes called Jiva Anuga, but generally Rupa Anuga. Jiva Goswami systematically compiled Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta. We know it as Rupa Anuga because Rupa Goswami made known what is the inner heart's desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Only two people knew that. Who is the other one? Swarupa Damodara Goswami. He knew, but he didn't broadcast it. Rupa Goswami broadcast it by writing. In his writing. So, it's very interesting actually. Generally this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's manobhishtam, his inner heart's desire, is that Radha Bhava Dhyuti Suvavitam Novi Krishna Swarupam. He has adopted the mood of Radharani. So that's generally understood because Guru Goswami revealed that. But then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wrote that Rupa Goswami, praising Rupa Goswami, that Rupa Goswami has revealed the manobhishtam of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What is that manobhishtam? The inner heart's desire. Priti vite avche jato nagaradi gram savatra prachar hoi ve morana. So this can also be deduced. It's not the heart's desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's also, we can see in the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita also this Anarpita Charin Chira that explains how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought this highest love of Krishna. Rupa Goswami broadcast it. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he accepted Bhaktivinoda Thakur as Rupa Noga Bhav. Namo Bhaktivinodaya Satchidananda Rani Gora Shakti Srupaya Rupa Noga Bharaya. He is the best of the followers of Rupa Goswami. Because he continues to manifest what is the desire of Rupa Goswami? The desire of Rupa Goswami is the desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's coming in the cyclic succession. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he manifested the heart's desire of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And actually Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he entrusted Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur with his work. Shortly before he left this world, he instructed Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to develop Mayapur, to preach Nam Hatta. To Mayapur can be properly served if there's a printing press established. So all these desires of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, took it up very seriously. Bhaktivinoda Thakur trained Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati from a young age in writing all the facets of publication. Even how to work the printing press. It used to be like this. You tell me when they had the tread. My hand. Nowadays we can't imagine. But up till recently these were being used. Still there are some presses in India which have the hand press. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur trained Bhaktisiddhanta Vimala Prasad, his young son, in all aspects of literature publication. So much so that later on when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur he established different presses. He established, there was the Gloria Printing Works, the Bhagavad Press. In Calcutta, in Mayapur, in Orissa, he had one. In Cuttack. So if something went wrong with the machine, we call Gurudev. He knew everything, how to repair the machine, everything. What to do. Because from his very early life he had experience. And in all aspects, proofreading, editing, he was very particular. That the magazine, everything should be proofread, no mistakes. Nowadays we have computer spell checks, still mistakes can. But he's very particular, there should be no mistake, no spelling mistake. Any spelling mistake, with chastise, should be perfect. We have to present. There should be, if the word is misspelled, could be misunderstood, no misunderstanding. Everything should be clear, precise. So, he himself was very expert in proofreading. He used to say that I proofread not only writing, but I proofread people. I proofread religion. I proofread the whole world. I look, everything may be very nice. The whole page may be very nice. If there's one small mistake, I will point it out. Never mind, everything is very nice, there's this mistake, correct it. So that is the job of a proofreader. The job of a proofreader is not to say that you have done so many pages nicely. The job of the proofreader is to say, this is a mistake. So he also said that I was born in Karkata Lagna, which means the astrological configuration of the crab. So he said, just like that, if there's something wrong, catch. Like a crab. You ever been caught by a crab on the beach? Catch. It's very painful. You can't, it's very difficult to get hold. It's very difficult to get it. It's very strong. They catch you very tightly. So like that, it's not pleasant. He was not concerned with pleasantness. He was concerned with presenting the absolute truth. Which is pleasant. The absolute truth is bhakti vinod. Vinod means pleasure. Bhakti is full of pleasure. But that pleasure can only be, the pleasure of bhakti vinod can only be realized if one is first of all fixed in bhakti siddhanta. If one has not got the proper understanding of what is bhakti, then that will not be bhakti vinod. That will be jara vinod. That will be materialistic pleasure. That was the mistake of all the Apasampradaya so-called devotees. That their so-called bhakti is at least mixed with the desire for their own pleasure in terms of lab, puja, pratishta, jato, upashakagari. Name, fame, glory, money. He pointed this out. That was his job as bhakti. So bhakti vedam means bhakti siddham, and only with bhakti siddham can we possibly approach bhakti vinod. There is no vinod, there is no pleasure without bhakti. And bhakti means that which is based on guru, sadhu and shastra. And guru is another form of bhakti. Guru doesn't mean some person who comes around, gives blessings, bless, 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 and then collect. Not guru. Guru means who cuts all the misunderstandings. So I'll speak more about that in the upcoming days. If you'd like to attend, please get back from Chandipur in time tomorrow. Hare Krishna. No questions? The questions may come on the final day, because if you ask questions, then you're going to lead me into topics that I'm going to speak about later. Hare Krishna. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta.